turn your Bibles with me to the book of Mark, Mark's Gospel, chapter 10. We want to begin reading at verse 46 to the end of the chapter. Mark's Gospel, chapter 10, beginning at verse 46. And they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples, and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And many charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried the more a great deal, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood still. Can you imagine that? The eternal God, the one who made all things, the one who upholds all things by the word of his power, stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, be of good comfort. Rise, he calleth thee. And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? The blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. The Lord is able to add a blessing to reading of his holy and precious word. Amen. May we pray. Father, we thank you that your ears are always open to the cry of your children. We thank you that your ears are open to the cry of those who are lost. And we pray that this evening, Lord, as a result of the hymns and choir pieces, Lord, that our hearts may have been attuned to you, to your word. Cause us, O Lord, to hear what thus saith the Lord. Cause that your spirit will move among us, your people, freely. Lord, that he will convict men and women, boys and girls, of sin, righteousness, and judgment that is to come. But also, Lord, that he will reveal your undying love and mercy and grace this evening. Indeed, O Lord, that we might see sinners come out of darkness into light, out of the kingdom of Satan and into the kingdom of your dear Son. And Father, this is our prayer. This is our heart's yearning to see sinners saved tonight. Burden our hearts with this, O Lord. Burden my heart. Indeed, O Lord, that I might be an instrument for good, for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. A cry for mercy. A cry for mercy. The passage before us relates to us the story of blind Bartimaeus. This poor man lived and dwelt in Jericho, the city that was under the curse of God. In the book of Joshua, chapter 6 and verse 26, after the Israelites had destroyed Jericho, rather after God had destroyed Jericho, that Joshua pronounced a curse upon this city. The Bible says in Joshua chapter 6 and verse 26, and Joshua adjured them at that time, saying, cursed be cursed may he be. Or, sorry, cursed be the man before the Lord that riseth up and buildeth this city Jericho. He shall lay the foundation thereof in his firstborn, and his youngest son shall he set up the gates of it. In essence, Joshua is saying, that cursed be the man who would come along, and who would build this city. And as he lays the foundation of this city, his first son will die. And in completing the city, and as he sets up the gate, his final son, or his last son, or his youngest son will die. And in 1 Kings chapter 16, Hiel came along, and he did just that. And as the Bible says, as the curse went forth, his oldest son and his youngest son died. Because the word of God must be fulfilled. Jericho, the city of palms, was the city of curse. And this man, Bartimaeus, dwelt there. He dwelt in the city where the curse of God was. And my question to you this evening is, where dwellest thou? Where are you living? Are you living under the broken law of God? Or are you dwelling in the secret place of the Most High? Are you dwelling in the presence of God? Are you under the shadow of the God Almighty? Are you in the house of God? Are you a part of the people of God? Are you in the ark of safety? Jericho, beautiful but wretched. Jericho, beautiful but wretched. But in spite of the fact that it was beautiful and wretched, it still had the privilege of the Son of God passing by. And you tonight, you are here, well-groomed, dressed up, handsome, and beautiful. You are here, beautiful and dressed up, but also beautiful but condemned. Because you do not know Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord. Jericho was a beautiful city. But it was wretched. It was under the curse of God. And it isn't so. I remember before I came to Jesus Christ, I was a sort of or others before they came to Christ, they were beautiful. They looked good. And the Bible says that Jesus preached and he talked to the people of God. He described the Pharisees as being whitewashed sepulchres. But inside was dead men's bones. The Bible describes a sinner like that. And so, this man, Bartimaeus, he was in the beautiful city, but it was wretched, but condemned. Jericho was visited by the Son of God. Jesus is passing by tonight. He's here. I don't know if you sensed it in the service, but I sensed it. He is here. He is passing by. In the midst of your spiritual condition, Jesus is passing by tonight. And the Bible says here in this verse, in this passage, that his visit was a brief visit. He came to Jericho and went out of Jericho. He came to Jericho and he went out of Jericho. He visited, he walked in and he walked out. And I'm saying to you tonight, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. This is your opportunity. Not tomorrow night, not the night of the crusade. Tonight is your day of salvation. Your cry of mercy. God is saying to you, this is your opportunity. Jesus passed by. And this man heard that Jesus was passing by. And he realized if his life was going to be changed, if he was going to receive this sight, now was the time. Not later. Because Jesus might not pass by. Maybe you are here and saying, maybe the crusade. Maybe that will be the night for me. Maybe one of those nights. No, tonight can be your night. And so a cry for mercy. And as we look at this passage, four things we want to note about this cry. He cried because mercy, first of all, was needed. Mercy was needed. Someone has said that a sin-blinded man has many needs, but his chief need is mercy. He was blind. Because he was blind, he could neither see himself nor others. Isn't that something? He could feel himself. He can feel other things, but he could not see himself. He could not see those who would probably take him to a spot every day where he would cry out for alms. He could feel himself. He could think, but he could not see himself. He could not see those who might have taken care of him. Last year, sometimes on Man of War, under the rich robbers had some of the young people out in the front of the apartment. They were playing a game. They had a long table lined out, and they were standing there and had a blindfold on two persons, and he had some pudding. And the object of the game was for each of them to find one another's mouth and put the pudding in. It must have been an exciting game, right? And it was a messy one. They couldn't see, and they were to just feel for one another and try to find one another's mouth and put the pudding in. And it was a fun game, but it drew a point to me. In the midst of that, they were only feeling, they couldn't see. They couldn't see where their mouth was. They couldn't understand. They couldn't. The whole idea, he was timing them to see who can put the mouth in or finish the pudding before a certain time. It was very messy. And so pudding was being put in eyes and or on top of noses and foreheads and all over the place. They just could not see the next person properly. They feel. And they couldn't see themselves to see what mess they've been made. And isn't that so with us? Really, if we really could see what God sees as a result of the fall, as a result of man walking away from God in the garden. The Bible says the heart of man is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Theologians call it the depravity of sin. Many of you are nice. You are here tonight. You are a good person. You help in this community. You are a good husband. You are a good wife. You are an obedient child. And you don't see the need to trust in Christ. There's nothing wrong with you. But as far as the Bible says, you may not be as bad as you can be, but you are as bad off as you could be. Because you are disconnected from God. And when God sees you, he sees a sinner, a rebellious person, an individual who are away from him, who is refusing his grace and his mercy. The blind cannot see themselves. But not only that, they cannot enjoy light and are ignorant of what the light reveals. This is a wonderful picture of the unsaved. They cannot enjoy light and are ignorant of what the light reveals. Generally speaking, there are some blind people who can see a little light, but generally speaking, they cannot see light. And so if they cannot see light, they cannot see what it reveals. And the Bible speaks about this as in terms of the man of man. Those whose minds are blinded by the God of this world. The Bible says if our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost, whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, would shine in. And Satan has blinded the minds. The word there is put a veil on people's minds. I think one of the veils he's put there is this whole idea of procrastination. Oh, I got time. I don't have to do it now. I'm so young. I can wait. Not now. And not now ends up being 5 years, 15 years, 20 years, and you're still not saved. Or he puts the whole idea as, you know what, I'm just as good as those other Christians. Look at them. They know better than I am. Oh, yes, they are. because they've been under the blood of Jesus Christ. They may not be perfect, but they are in Christ. They have trusted on the Lord Jesus Christ. And you're still working on them. And you have this critical spirit, and Satan has caused you to be blind to the realization that you need Jesus Christ. You cannot see light. You cannot see the fact of your need, because Satan has blinded you from the truth of your need for Jesus Christ. That this glorious gospel speaks about the Son of the living God, who loved you and gave himself to you, want to give you life and give you it more abundantly. Not only they cannot enjoy light, they are ignorant of what the light reveals. They cannot see the beauty and the preciousness of Jesus Christ. The Bible says, "For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He had no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him." And that was the problem with the Pharisees. They saw him as a mere man. They did not see the beauty in him. They did not see the regalness in this person. They did not see his holiness. They did not see his compassion and his love. They did not see the demonstration and understand the demonstration of his power in raising the dead. People who are blind cannot enjoy it, and they are ignorant of what the light revealed. And that's why, my friend, when the gospel is preached, when you hear the word of God, you need to respond. When God enlightens your mind, that's why we say, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. They're ignorant to the person of Jesus Christ. In the Old Testament, the Bible has what they call a tabernacle. And it was made up of sheep's and animal skin. And for some who were standing afar off on the outside, all they saw were these animal skins and goats and whatnot, and badger skins, and the sun that were beating down upon it, changing the colors of it, and, you know, really probably didn't look too good. And so as a result, people were probably not attracted, those who didn't understand the purpose of it. But oh, when you walked on the inside of that tabernacle, when you entered into that tabernacle, you saw the majesty and the beauty, you saw the gold, you saw the silver, you understood. And my friend, you will never understand truly the beauty and the glory and the majesty of the Son of God until you by faith trust in him. I remember a schoolmate of mine. In school, I used to witness to her and many others about Jesus Christ. And a few years later, after we graduating and I worked for the cable company, I went to install cable into her home, and she was there. And now she was saved and gloriously saved. She said, "Why didn't you tell me that Jesus Christ was so sweet?" I said, "I tried." But only Jesus Christ, only the Spirit of the living God can overcome the darkness that the devil has put on the minds of people and change their lives. This man needed mercy. Mercy did, because he was blind. And he needed the light of the glorious gospel to shine in and show him the light. And that's what you need. Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, who died for you, my friend. You cannot know how to love your life, your wife, the way you should, apart from knowing Christ and he bringing to you and revealing to you and giving you the ability to be able to love your wife and your children the way you should. You cannot be the type of husband and live with your wife according to understanding, apart from the knowledge of Jesus Christ and the power of the Spirit working in your life. You cannot be the type of young person and child in your home and submissive to your parents apart from knowing Jesus Christ. When you are saved and you receive Jesus Christ by faith, your life change. You have a different perspective on life. Things change. He needed mercy, needed because he was blind. He needed mercy because he was poor. He sat down, Bible says, by the wayside. begging, verse 46. Begging. Someone said that a man must surely be conscious of his poverty before he sets to begging. People who are, think they are not in need will not beg. But he was in need and he understood. If he wanted to get food, if he wanted to get supplies, he needed to get out there and beg. My friend, if you realize the fact that you are spiritually poor, if you know just how poor you are spiritually, you will begin to cry out like this man did for mercy. But for many people, they don't think they are that way. They are like those of the church at Laodicea. The Bible says, because you say I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knew not that they are wretched and poor and blind and naked. That's where you are spiritually. You are poor. It's amazing tonight that Bill Gates, the richest man in the world, but he's a pauper spiritually. He's a pauper. You might have a house, a car, land, and you say, you know, I'm doing well. And by man's standard, you are. But as far as God is concerned, you are poor and you need God's mercy tonight. Not only was he blind and poor, but he was also hopeless. Can you imagine a man of that day? Blind. There was no hope of ever receiving his sight. For all of the technology we have today, and what they can do to surgery and lasers and everything to the eye, and to give people vision and give them hope, still, when you are born blind, basically they can't help you. And so think about this man living in his day. When you are born blind, that was it. You are going to stay that way forever. Apart from a miracle, apart from the intervention of God in your life, you are hopeless. And this man was hopeless. He understood that. He probably expected to die blind. But oh, we thank God that Jesus passed by. And the Bible said that we all were born in sin. We were created. Therefore, by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. So death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. You were born in sin. I was born in sin. We all were going to a Christless eternity. We were hopeless. My friend, you are hopeless without Jesus Christ. Apart from trusting him, you're going to a Christless eternity. He is your only hope. He is the only way out. And that's why we say, behold, now is the accepted time. And that's why we say, call upon him while he is near. Mercy needed, because he was blind, he was poor, he was hopeless. But notice verse 47 and 48. Mercy asked for, he said. And when he had heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And many charged him that he should hold his peace, but he cried the more a great deal, thou son of David, have mercy on me. He cried. Others rebuked him. He cried the more a great deal. Someone has said it's not easy to steal a hungry man where bread may be had for nothing. We'll put it more personally. My 9-year-old son, my wife had to nurse him for 10 months. Didn't like the other stuff. Now I would be holding him in the time for his feeding, and he was hungry. And his mother was out, and when she came home, I couldn't hold him. He saw a mummy. He saw a food. He saw that which would fulfill him. And this man realized that Jesus was passing this way. And if he was going to receive a miracle, if he was going to be able to see, if his life was going to be drastically changed, he was going to cry out. And no matter who said, be quiet, it doesn't matter to him. He cried out, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And there were a lot of people who were not in the kingdom tonight because they're allowing other people to hinder them. For years, and I remember I told this here before, I had an aunt who was trembling in the parking lot after she heard a gospel message, but she was living with a man, and as a result, she said, I gotta go home and see what Tyrone says. When she got home, Tyrone said, don't talk to me about that foolishness. 2 years later, they were broke up. 5 years later, after the death of a daughter tragically being electrocuted, and she herself, 2 years later, after having a stroke, she finally came to Christ. Thank God. Don't let others, don't let anyone hinder you. The Bible says he cried. Note, first of all, he cried for the right thing. He says, have mercy on me. The word mercy means to show compassion, to extend help for the consequence of sin. But the general meaning is to have compassion or mercy on a person in an unhappy circumstance. It implies not merely a feeling for the misfortune of others, involving sympathy, but almost an active desire to remove the misery. To Lord Jesus, I'm here in misery. Have mercy on me. Come, Lord Jesus, help me. Have mercy on me. He cried. He cried. And many people, when they cry in the midst of their sin, oh, I want peace. I want joy. I want this. I want that. The first thing you need to cry for is God's mercy. God's mercy. God's mercy. Remember the publican whom the Bible says, Luke 18, while the Pharisee stood there praying with himself, this publican would not even lift his head. He said, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. And the Bible says that he went down to his house justified. Jesus said he was exalted because he humbled himself and he realized that he needed the mercy of God. My friend, you need the mercy of God tonight. You need to experience the forgiveness of God tonight. He cried for the right thing. He said, have mercy on me. He cried to the right one. Jesus, thou son of David. Jesus, thou son of David. The hymn writer says, so how sweet the name of Jesus sound in a believer's ear. We can paraphrase that. Oh, how sweet the name of Jesus sounds in the ear of this blind Bartimaeus. You see, all his hopes was not centered on the people around him. His hope of experiencing mercy and healing was not centered on those who brought him to that position. His hope for healing was not centered in the monies that he received from those who passed by. He realized that his hope for mercy and healing and restoration was in a person, and that person is Jesus Christ. And I want to say to you, my friends, this evening, that that's where your hope lies. In Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. There is none other name, the Bible says, under heaven given among men, whereby we must be saved. My friend, if Jesus Christ can't help you, you can't be helped. But he can. I dare say no one here has become a blasphemer. Probably not. An injurious man. A murderer. A persecutor of the church. The apostle Paul was. He referred to himself as the chief of sinners. But that chief of sinners says, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me, Paul says, and he gave himself for me. Gave himself for you. He cried to the right person. Who are you crying to for mercy? Your mom, your dad, your husband, the elders, as good as that may be, only Jesus Christ can help you out of your sin. He cried to the right one. William MacDonald, dealing with this passage, says it was ironic that while the nation of Israel was blind to the presence of the Messiah, a blind Jew had true spiritual sight. He recognized who Jesus Christ was. Do you recognize who he is? Mercy is asked for. He asked at the right, not only for the right thing and the right one. He asked at the right time. Jesus was passing. Luke's Gospel chapter 18, dealing with the same passage with 37. And they told him that Jesus of Nazareth passeth by. He did not wait for a more convenient season. He knew the danger of delay. If Jesus had passed by, he would not have experienced, he would not, maybe not, had another chance, another opportunity. And I say to you tonight, and we say it because, my friend, it is true. We do not know what tomorrow holds. We do not know. We do not know. A beautiful young girl, and I'm sure you heard the story of the tragedy of Marsh Harbor. The young girl gave a testimony the day before she left that she knew she would die where she was going. She did not know that in 24 hours she would be dead. She did not know that. This is the right time. Take care that you're not letting your last opportunity slip past, Lord, a cry for help, a cry for mercy. Mercy needed, mercy asked for, mercy offered. The Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says, in verse 49 through 51, Jesus stood still. He stood still. The goal of prayer is the ear of God. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him. I love that. And delivered him out of all his troubles. He cried. Jesus stopped. He stopped. Help this one individual, a crowd around him, a multitude around him. And that's the wonderful thing about the Lord Jesus Christ. He's not only into crowds, but he's also into the individual. Into the individual. He stops. He stood still. Jesus is here for you tonight. If only just for you. How many times you've heard people say, after they have trusted Christ or after they walked out, I felt that if the preacher was just talking just to me. No, that's God talking just to you. Maybe he's doing that this evening. He's here for you. He stood still. He stood still. The creator of the universe paused to meet the need of this blind beggar. And he's here to meet you and your need tonight. And even as you were here, no matter what it might be. But if you're not saved, he stood still. Then the Bible says, he said, be of good comfort. He called for thee. He called. He called. He calls. And he's calling for you tonight to come unto him. All you that are heavy laden. He said, I'll give you rest. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He's calling for you. He said, come. Come. Someone said, if you take that word come, see, means children. O for older people, M for middle age, E is for everyone. He says, come. Come. The invitation, whomsoever will, may come. Come. He calleth for you. He's calling for you tonight. Come. How many times have you called and you have rejected? He's saying, come still. Come. He called. And then he offered. He says, what will thou that I should do unto thee? Oh, what a blank check. What an opening. When Jesus said that, he laid all the riches of his grace before the feet of this beggar. He says, what wilt thou that I should do for thee? He says, same thing to you. What do you want me to do for you? You remember Solomon? God says, Solomon, ask, and I will give you whatever you want. Solomon asked for understanding how to judge God's people. He got that and more. He got that and more. My friend, when you call and Christ calls you, he only gives you eternal life. He gives you himself. He gives you grace. Gives you his joy. You experience the forgiveness of sins. Through his shed blood, the floodgates was open. Now the blessings of God is available to all who will call upon him in faith and trust him. But I must hasten on to my final point. Not only do we have mercies needed and mercies asked for, mercies offered, we have mercies enjoyed. Mercies enjoyed. Jesus said, verse 51, Jesus answered and said unto him, what wilt thou that I do for thee? The blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. Seeing you, he said, Lord, I want to receive my sight. And verse 52, we see the mercies and joy. Jesus said unto him, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. Jesus will not send the hungry or the blind away empty. The Bible says that he believed. Go thy way, thy faith had made thee whole. Word whole there means thy faith had made thee safe. Thy faith had delivered thee. It means to save, to make whole, to preserve safe from danger, loss, destruction. Not only did his faith save him from a life of just continued living in a destituted life as a beggar, but it also saved him from a coming destruction and condemnation and judgment of God in the life that was to come. And I say to people often, trusting Jesus Christ not only gives you a quantity of life, but it also gives you a quality of life. But the mere fact that this young man acknowledged, or this beggar acknowledged Jesus as the Son of David, he was acknowledging that he was the Messiah. He was acknowledging that he was the Christ, the Anointed One of God. He had faith in Jesus Christ. And my friend, that's what saves you. That's what makes you whole. That's what causes you to escape destruction and God's condemnation. Faith in the person and the work of Jesus Christ. For by grace are you saved through faith. Do you believe that Jesus Christ died for your sins on the cross? Do you believe that he was buried and that he rose again on the third day? And that by placing your faith in him and confessing your sins, God forgives you of all of your sins. That you are a sinner. He believed. And as a result, he received. The Bible says, and immediately he received his sight. He received his sight. Immediately he received his sight. It was offered and he received it. My friend, when you trust on Jesus Christ, the scales, like the Apostle Paul, who was blind physically, the Bible said that when Ananias came and touched him, like scales fell from his eyes, he saw, not only physically, but he saw spiritually. His life was changed. Man believed in Christ, the Son of the living God. And his life was never the same. He received, my friends, through faith in Christ, you could receive eternal life tonight. But that was not enough. The Bible says not only that he believed, and as a result he received, but the Bible says that he followed Jesus in the way. In the way. His life totally change, turn upside down. The Lord of grace had spoiled his begging business. He had no capacity, no desire for it. He got met the Lord and he got renewed. And that's what happens when you meet Jesus Christ. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. He followed Jesus. He followed Jesus in the way. He didn't stay where he was. He didn't continue to live the way he lived. Jesus came in and changed him. And that's what he wanted to do in your life. But you need to believe on him. You need to trust him as your Savior and your Lord. Mercy is needed. Mercy is asked for. Mercy is offered. Mercy is enjoyed. You can enjoy forgiveness of sins. You can enjoy eternal life. You can enjoy a hope that goes beyond this grave. Knowing that if you were to die tonight, you'd be absent from the body and be present with the Lord. But above all, you can know that you have a relationship with the God of heaven through faith in Jesus Christ. A cry for mercy. God heard it. And God answered. Tonight, if you would cry in faith and say, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner, you will be forgiven of your sins. And you can enjoy fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. You want to sing in closing, 280, pass me not, O gentle Savior. Hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by. Savior, Savior, hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by. Let me at thy throne of mercy.